Good morning. We're so glad that we could all meet together. Good morning to all of you on Facebook and on the web page. We're glad that you could be with us as well. We are getting closer in getting this live. I downloaded some things on the computer yesterday, so putting it back into the electronic people's hands because I don't know how to do anything but push a button. So we're getting closer, though, so that's good. Hope you all have had a good week and have enjoyed this beautiful weather. We're glad that we could all come this morning and enjoy the weather and enjoy each other's company and to just sit at the feet of the Lord and sing and listen to His Word. One quick announcement before we pray. If you were on the outreach committee, we're meeting at 2 o'clock today. So outreach people, come at 2 o'clock today. Thank you. Let's pray. Lord, we give you praise and we give you glory for such a beautiful morning. Thank you that we can wake to the sun this morning, that we have air in our lungs to breathe, that we can have strength to move and to come into your house and to worship you, Lord. And we just thank you for that. Thank you that we have the privilege to be called sons and daughters of you, that we have the privilege to sing praises to you and to hear your word. Lord, just fill this place with your Spirit, Lord. Draw close to us, Lord. Help us to draw close to you. We give you glory. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Good to see everybody here this morning. We're going to sing some praises this morning to our Lord.
Above all nature and all created
announcements, Jeremy? Good lady. No announcements. No news is good news.
Great thou art, how great thou art. Savior God to me. How great thou art, great.
So that gets me every time. Reminds me of elk hunting in the mountains. A little bit closer to God. Thank you. Gives up on any of us. Lord, your love chases us down in our sin, rescues us from the pit. You are a mighty God and a mighty Savior. We can't even begin to fathom how deep your love is. We praise you so much, Lord, for the protection, for the health of our families, the health of this community, for keeping us safe, watching over us. We are surely blessed, Lord. We don't know why, Lord, as a nation, that we have any blessing at all. We are in such a sad state, Lord. Our sins are overwhelming, and this nation needs to repent. We need to get on our knees and repent and ask for your blessing once again. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this country. Be with those who lead it. In Jesus' name, amen.
He is risen from the dead. My legs are stiff after sitting on that stool. I'm getting old. I am old. Not getting anymore. But what a beautiful day to come to church. It was one of those days or mornings that makes you think about Christ coming again. There was no clouds in the sky, and one of these mornings, Christ will come. But it's nice to see some faces we haven't seen in a long time. Linda and Kay and Larry, and Lily's back with us again today, or back with us after the opening up. And there may be some others I haven't seen, but anyway, I want to take just a few minutes to help us prepare for partaking of the Lord's Supper. Hopefully all of you have your communion cups and bread and so forth. If not, we can get it to you. You know, we are experiencing something that no one in my lifetime has ever experienced, with this pandemic and the virus and the new normal when it comes to opening up, like the social distancing now that we're all trying to obey to keep from getting the virus. And we're, most of us are wearing masks when it's appropriate. And we're washing our hands much more often, I'm sure, than what we used to. But when I thought about those things, it made me think about when there was a new normal, and when Christ died for us. This had never happened before, and it was much more consequential than what we are experiencing now. Christ, when he died upon the cross, put into effect the new law and fulfilled the old law. And we know when he died upon the cross, it says in Matthew chapter 27, the verses 51 and 52, that there was an earthquake. And the dead in Christ came up from their tombs and were seen alive again. Now that's much more consequential than what we see today with this pandemic and new normal. We know that many changes took place. Of course, Christ died and he was resurrected. He fulfilled the old law, put into effect the new law. Many changes were put into place, like there were no more animal sacrifices required under the old law. The sacrifices that were given were the greatest sacrifice of all, and that the death of the Son of God. We know that circumcision was no longer required, but a circumcision of the heart was required through baptism. And we know that it was such a overwhelming event that it entirely changed the calendar of how people recognized times. The calendar started over again. So this is, even though this is, we think, very burdensome upon us, and this virus, and it's really insignificant when it comes to the new normal that Christ put into effect when he died upon the cross. And let's keep that in mind as we partake this morning. And I'm going to offer a prayer before we partake. Dear Heavenly Father, thankful for this beautiful day that we have to enjoy. We're thankful for the time that we have together to worship Thee and to remember Thee in the bread and the cup. And we know that the bread represents the body that was you gave upon the cross, and the sacrifice that was made, and the blood that was given so that we might have a new life and have the hope of salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
we come around this time for our prayer list, we have three here. Annette put on Daphne Hannaford. Just got out of the hospital again. Hospice has been called in, so we're going to keep Annette's friends in our prayer. Then Anita Keller, Sharon Leibensparger, her sister. Sharon was moved to Evergreen Manor Nursing Home in Montpelier Thursday evening. She will be quarantined for 14 days. She tested negative for the virus, which is a blessing. I have the address if anyone wants to send cards to the home. So if you would like to get the address, and Nita will be able to take care of that for you. And we definitely want to keep praying for her. Then I have one from Emma and Charlie. Emma's dad, Joe, broke his ankle in three places. But that's not the most important thing. The next part is the most important. Please pray also that he would turn to Jesus. His soul is more important than his body. That is very well stated. Thank you for Charlie and Emma. And then also I see on our prayer list, you want to look that over because there's many names on there, and we have those people that we definitely need to keep in prayer daily. And it is great to see so many here today. That's a blessing. Every Sunday we seem to be getting a few more, and that's a real blessing. And also we definitely want to keep in prayer for our country with, like they were saying, with things that's going on. It's hard to understand so many times how one little incident can turn turmoil in our country. And if they would just turn to Jesus and put their hope in that, it'd be such more blessing and assurance for everything. So let us pray at this time. Heavenly Father, we put these prayer lists, these prayer concerns into your hand, dear Lord. We realize, dear Lord, there's a soul here that needs to know you, and many more out there that need to know you, dear Lord. And we pray that you'll watch over and care for Joe and healing there, especially with Sharon in the home, dear Lord. It's tough for her because she can't be with family, and that's always tough when you're put into a place and different people have to take care of you and you don't know them, and that's really rough. And pray for Sharon, dear Lord, that she can gain strength and maybe be able to come home soon. Pray for Annette's friend there, dear Lord. She needs special prayers as she struggles with health issues. And we pray for our country, dear Lord, be with our president and leaders, and they turn to your word for the guidance in their lives and their decisions. And be with this virus that's going around, dear Lord. We realize that you are in control of our lives. You tell us in your word, our days are numbered. And whether it's a virus or an accident or what it is, dear Lord, we just rely on you from day to day. Put our love and hope in you. And thank you for you sending Jesus here to watch over and care for us and carry us through the tough times. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. I'm going to try not to lose the microphone this time. Hopefully that'll work out. Just one quick announcement. I don't know how many have heard, but unfortunately Lake James has been canceled for this summer due to a bunch of different things, all of the social rules and all of those things. It's kind of hard to have a bunch of little kids running around together and keep social distancing and masks and all of these things. So that's one of their issues. And also it looks like the state only wants children of that state to come to camp. And as we know, Lake James is right here on the corner, and we have Michigan, we have Ohio, and we have Indiana that come. So that hurts them as well. So unfortunately, they've had to close their doors for the summer. But for all of you here, we're working. Jonathan is working on planning something for the summer for the kids, because we don't want just the summer to go by and then VBS happens and that's it. Because I know a lot of kids look forward to summer camp. So we are in the process of trying to get some things together and do some kind of events here for the children. So Just wanted to let you all know that. As you as we get started here, as you know, we just finished the book of Ephesians, and we looked at what the church was. We looked at who the church was and what the church's responsibility was. So now we're going to sort of switch gears, because the church's main goal is to preach the gospel. We're about the gospel. And so now we're going to go and we're going to look at an Old Testament book. We're going to look at the book of Daniel. So we're going to briefly hit Daniel, but we're not going to be in the book this morning as much. We're actually going to go to 2 Kings. So if you want to turn to 2 Kings 24, we're going to spend more of our time there. But as we look in the book of Daniel, we're going to give the same warning that we gave with the book of Joshua. When we look at these Old Testament books, we always want to look at the main character. We want to look at Joshua and say, yes, I'm Joshua, and that's a wall that I need to destroy. Yes, I'm David, and I need to destroy that giant, or I'm Daniel, and then God's going to shut the mouths of lions. We're none of those characters. Those characters actually point us all to Jesus. The idea of the Old Testament is to point us to the New Testament. So when we look at these books, we need to look at them and find Jesus. Because when we look at them, most of the time, in the instance of David, we're the ones running, not the one taking on the giant. David was Jesus taking on an enemy that nobody else could take on. Jesus took on sin where we cannot. So when we look at these characters, let's look for the gospel. And here in the book of Daniel, this book is littered with the hope of salvation. It is the gospel story is played out in this book. In the midst of trying times, we're going to see how the gospel plays out. When we're facing persecution, when we're facing sickness, when we're facing hard times, whatever the situation is, we can look at the book of Daniel and we can see how the hope of the gospel gets us through. So we're going to look at that today. And looking at it as we start this, we're going to ask the question that more than likely was in the minds of Daniel and his three friends, and in the minds of all of the others as they're making this journey. How can a loving, caring, just God allow bad things to happen to good people? And we all know the stories of Daniel. Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. We know these stories. And most of the time in these stories, actually all of the time, Daniel and his three friends did nothing wrong. But time and time again, they are faced with opposition. They're faced with moments where they have to stop and say, wait, what's going on here? How can you allow this to happen? Just for instance, when Daniel and his three friends get to Babylon, I'd say it's not even a week, and their lives are already on the line. In the instance of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Nebuchadnezzar in his dream, he has this dream, and he says he wakes up in a frantic, and the magicians and the dreamsayers and all his people come, and they're like, give us what happened, and we'll tell you. And he says, no, you tell me the dream, and then tell me the interpretation. And they're like, we can't do that. Nobody knows dreams. And, well, if you don't tell me my dream, within 24 hours, you all are going to die. That includes Daniel and his three friends. So even not even a week there, and his life's already on the line. Why? What did I do? How did this happen to me? But we see the hope of the gospel through it, and we're going to walk in that, and we're going to answer that question as we go. Daniel chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the vessels of the house of God. And he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and placed the vessels in the treasury of his God. Let us pray. Lord, we give you praise. We give you glory for who you are. We thank you that we can come to your word, that we can look to stories of like Daniel, like David. And we can see you, Lord. We can see how you move, and we can see where you are. And how from Genesis to Revelation, it all points to you. It all points to your Son, to the hope of salvation, to the hope that we have in you, to the life that we have in Jesus. Lord, as we walk through this book, Lord, help us to see that. Help us to draw closer to you. Help us to know the gospel deeper. And then be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to be like Daniel and to share that gospel. Lord, we give you praise, we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. As we walk into the book of Daniel, let's look at a few things about this book. Besides the big stories we know, what else do we know about this book? The book of Daniel is considered one of the major prophets. The Bible is broken down into poetry, it's broken into history, it's broken into major and minor prophets. Daniel is considered a major prophet. The reason that he's a major prophet is because a lot of what goes on in the book of Daniel has to do with the Messiah. Mainly the book of Daniel has to do with the end times and Jesus. So when we look at it, we can see what's going to happen. In fact, Daniel is one of the only Old Testament books that scholars and people, when you hear people talk, when Y2K happened and the end of the world is coming and this stuff and that, they always hit Revelations. The signs and wonders, the seasons are going to change. Look for these things. But as soon as they hit Revelations, they turn and they say, look at the numbers in Daniel. So Daniel is the only Old Testament book that's been directly connected with a New Testament book. Now, while you're wondering, what about the Gospels? The Gospels, yes, Jesus speaks of the Old Testament. The prophet Isaiah, the prophet Jeremiah, Paul speaks of the Old Testament. But when they speak of it, they're speaking directly of what Jesus did, what Jesus said, and they're pointing to the life of Jesus. Where this is pointing, these two books are connecting for a future event. So Daniel is considered a major prophet. Daniel is also written by Daniel. Daniel wrote the book, and he is walking through 605 BC in the summertime when Jerusalem was destroyed by the Babylonians. This is when this book is being taken. Now, here's some highlighted points that you may not know. This is some interesting points. Did you know the book of Daniel is actually written in two languages? The beginning of Daniel starts out in the Hebrew language. The end of the book of Daniel ends in the Hebrew language. The in-between is written in the Chaldean language, the language of the Babylonians. So Daniel is actually written in two languages. Daniel is also the only book in the Bible where a pagan king got to write a chapter. Do you know that? Nebuchadnezzar actually writes a chapter. It's not Nebuchadnezzar did this and this is what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar says, I did. God did this to me. So a pagan king actually gets a chapter in the Bible. Each chapter, and we're going to see this, and this is the really cool thing about Daniel. Each chapter begins with this mighty king. This is what I am. I am the king. This is the way it's going to be, like it or not. By the time you get to the end of that section, that king is on his face bowing, humbled before a mighty God. And also, the other thing of Daniel is that Daniel here, this is the first of three times that the angel Gabriel appears in the Bible. Does anybody know why that's important? Who is Gabriel besides an angel? What is his purpose? Jesus. He is the Jesus angel. When Gabriel shows up, he's going to talk about Jesus. This is the first of three times he shows up. The other two times is the Gospel of Matthew when he shows up to Joseph and says, Joseph, don't divorce her. Go forward with being married. She is pregnant with the Holy Spirit. The second time that he shows up is in the Gospel of Luke when he tells Mary that she's going to be pregnant with the Son of God. So we meet Gabriel in this chapter. And Daniel will also see the fulfillment. He will actually live out the fulfillment of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Daniel's going to hold a position of authority with three different kings. Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, and Darius. So he's going to live out three kings. Not only is he going to live out authority in three kings, but he's going to live out two kingdoms. The Babylonians and the Medes and the Persians. That's what this book is about. That's what we're going to walk through. So imagine that. Daniel here, and again, he plays it in his head. Daniel starts out in Jerusalem, living for God, worshiping God, growing up as a teenager for God. All of a sudden, Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians crush, and he's taken to Babylon. How does this happen? Why does this happen? He becomes a power of authority in Babylon. And again, another enemy comes and crushes Babylon. Again, what did I do? And he ends up as authority in another kingdom as well. So Daniel walked through hardship in his life, but he always glorified God. He always looked to the hope that he had in God. So, again, we ask the question, how can a loving, caring, just God allow bad things to happen? This is a question Daniel and his three friends asked as they traveled the 1,678.2 miles to Babylon. That's a pretty long time to be thinking about this one thing. What happened? How did I get here? This is unfair as it runs through. So let us look again at what Daniel starts off with. Daniel starts off with, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands with some of the vessels of the house of God. And he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and placed the vessels in the treasury of his God. Now here's the problem that we kind of shrink back at. Did you see verse 2? Verse 2 says, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands. God didn't simply allow this to happen. He actually made it happen. When we look at the word gave, we have to look at our terms. The term gave actually is the past tense of give, to make a present of. God said, here, Nebuchadnezzar, here's you a present, the kingdom of Jerusalem. It says to grant or to bestow, to put in to one's possession, to transfer one's authority, to allow one to have or take, to cause one to have or receive. God says, it's yours, Nebuchadnezzar. And he gives it to him. That's kind of a scary thought because, wait, you're supposed to be loving, you're supposed to be kind, you're supposed to be just. How do you just give it to an enemy? You see, Habakkuk, who's one of the prophets, he's a minor prophet, he asks that question because God says, this is what's going to happen, Habakkuk. I'm going to give the enemy Jerusalem. I'm going to give them the Israelite people. And Habakkuk's like, how can you do this? You're a loving God. We're your people. How can you do this? It's not right. It's not fair. But we have to look at another gave that God did. A gave that we look at it and we're like, okay, that one makes sense. And here it is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God gave Jesus into the enemy's hands. He gave it to us, a creation who shook our fist, who beat him, who nailed him to a cross. But God gave Jesus to us. God is giving the land of Israel to Nebuchadnezzar. So let us look at 2 Kings here. We're going to go to 2 Kings chapter 24. As we look at this chapter, we're going to see that Nebuchadnezzar actually lives through three kings of Israel. Two of the kings actually betray Nebuchadnezzar and he kills them. One gives up really quick. He says, nope, you win. And one becomes a governor who honors Babylon, but the people kill him instead. And this is where we're going to look at today, starting at verse 1. In the days Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up, and Jehoiakim became his servant for 3 years. Then he turned and rebelled against him. And the Lord sent against him bands of the Chaldeans, bands of the Syrians, bands of the Moabites, and bands of the Amorites, and sent them against Judah to destroy it, according to the word of the Lord, that he spoke by his servants, the prophets. Surely this came upon Judah at the command of the Lord to remove them out of his sight for the sins of Manasseh according to all that he had done, and also for the innocent blood that he had shed. For he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, and the Lord would not pardon. Now the rest of the deeds of Jehoiakim and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? So Jehoiakim slept with his fathers, and Jehoiachin, his son, reigned in his place. And the king of Egypt did not come again out of his land, for the king of Babylon had taken all that belonged to the king of Egypt, and from the brook of Egypt to the rivers of the Euphrates. Jehoiachin was 18 years old when he became king, and he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. His mother was Nashatah, the daughter of Elphanah of Jerusalem, and he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father had done. And at that time, the servant of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem, and the city was besieged. And Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to the city while his servant was besieging it. And Jehoiachin, the king of Judah, gave himself up to the king of Babylon, himself and his mother and his servants and his officials and his palace officials. And the king of Babylon took him prisoner in the 8th year of his reign, and carried off all the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasure of the king's house, and cut it in pieces all the vessels of gold in the temple of the Lord, which Solomon, king of Israel, had made, as the Lord had foretold. And he carried away all Jerusalem, and all officials, and all mighty men of valor. None remained except the poorest of the land. God had warned Israel that this was going to happen. In fact, he warns him through 5-6 prophets. You see, Isaiah, Micah, Nahum, Obadiah, Jeremiah, Habakkuk, and Zephaniah, seven prophets are walking the land pretty much at the same time. Isaiah's in the king's house, warning the king, if we do not turn back to God, this is what's going to happen. Jeremiah is walking the streets, saying, if we do not turn back to God, this is what's going to happen. See, God, so what does God allow to happen? God allows Nebuchadnezzar to come in. And that looks cruel. Again, we ask the question because it doesn't make sense a lot of times. How does this happen? Why does this happen? You're just mean. But what does 2 Chronicles say? 2 Chronicles, as it mirrors, Kings and Chronicles mirror each other. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 15 says, the Lord, the God of their fathers, sent persistently to them by His messengers. He sent persistently. We just saw seven prophets. God is persistently seeking Israel out, seeking to bring Israel back in. He's seeking us out. He is persistently calling us. How many times as a parent have you told your child, don't do that? You're going to get hurt. Leave that alone. You're going to get hurt. And then finally, it's just like, and then here they come. Oh, I told you, if you did it, you're going to get hurt. There comes a time when we close our mouths, right, and let them natural consequences. I've warned you, and I've warned you. I've smacked your hand. I've moved you away. I've guided you as much as I can to keep you out of trouble, to keep you safe. And yet you continue to head in the wrong direction. God is seeking. He is persistently calling Israel. He's persistently calling us through His messengers, through the Word of God. Because, why? Why does He do this? Because He had compassion on His people. How does a just, loving God allow bad things to happen? Well, first, He is persistently pursuing us to keep us from bad things happening. He's constantly loving on us, trying to bring us in. If we look in the book of Judges, the same thing happened. He allowed the enemy to come in and the people repented and they came back. And He restored them. He healed them. And when they did it again, He let it happen again and He restored them. Here, He is calling them. He is seeking them because He has compassion on His people. We are His people and He has compassion on us. But they kept mocking the messengers of God, despising the words and scoffing at His prophets, until the wrath of the Lord rose against His people, until there was no remedy. You see, God warns us and He calls us out and He calls us back to Him over and over again. What more could He do than die on a cross for us? And that's exactly what He did, to say, come to Me. I've paid it for you. I've done it all. Come to Me. But if we refuse to accept what Jesus did, if we refuse to listen to the prophets, if we can refuse to listen to God's Word, there's going to be a time when we close our eyes in death and there is no remedy. And He's going to say, I didn't know you. I called you. I sought you. I paid for you. I tried to pull you back to Me, but you refused. And now there's no remedy. He does it because He loves us. He would not pardon the sin because they refused to turn back. This is what Daniel and his three friends knew. So as Daniel and his three friends are walking this and they ask the question, they have to stop and say, wait, didn't God send Isaiah? We heard Isaiah in the kingdom because Isaiah, Dan, Daniel and his three friends, they're royalty. They're not kings and princes, but they are part of that court because Nebuchadnezzar took all the rich people, all the nobles. So that's Daniel and his three friends. They heard Isaiah crying out, return, repent, come to God. God loves you. God did this. They walk the streets to the marketplace. They hear Jeremiah, repent, turn back, love the Lord, keep His commandments over and over and over again. This is what's going to happen if you don't. And so they're walking, they were like, they were right. They were right. The generation before us did not obey God. They were right. Because I want you to think about this. When we get to Daniel chapter 1, the first thing that happens in Daniel chapter 1, everybody is brought. And we automatically look at it and we assume that it's just Daniel and his three friends. But there were a lot of Jewish young men in that group. And as they're in this group, they're being told, okay, here's what your new responsibilities are going to be. Here's what you're going to do. Now, here's a nice meal for you. Enjoy. In front of a Jewish crowd of young men, here, enjoy. But only Daniel and his three friends say, no, we can't partake of that. Because that belongs to idols. That belongs to gods that aren't ours. So if we eat of that, we're worshiping those gods. And God said, worship Him alone. We've seen what happens when we don't worship God alone. We're not doing that. We're not bowing our knee to your statue because we worship God alone. We've seen what happens when you don't worship God, when you don't honor God. So God will save us. And if He does not, we will not bow the knee. No, I will not stop praying three times a day, even though there's this law that I know they're going to get me sooner or later, because I'm going to honor the Lord because He said, honor me. And I've seen what happens when I don't honor Him. So Daniel and his three friends could do what no one else would do, what others refused to do because they knew the story. Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin refused to honor the Lord. And God's word came true. There was no remedy. We are stuck. We are going to die in this foreign land because they refused to honor the Lord. But there's hope, as there's always hope in God's word. 2 Chronicles 36 gives us this hope. He says, He took into exile in Babylon those who had escaped from the sword, and they became servants of Him, to Him and to His sons, until the establishment of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed its Sabbath. All the days that lay desolate, it kept Sabbath, to fulfill 70 years. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and also put it in writing. Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and has charged me to build a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judea. Whoever is among you of all his people, may the Lord his God be with him. Let him go up. You see, Israel got restored. God restored Israel. God allowed the Israelites to go back and to build. And that's where we get Ezra and Nehemiah. That's the story of the rebuilding, because God healed the land. He had compassion on His people. God restores us. He allows things to happen. He allows us to go through trials and temptation. 2 Peter says, you will go through various trials, if necessary, to strengthen your faith. We're allowed to go through things because sometimes there's things we need to get rid of. Other times we go through things because we need to be strengthened. We need to, okay, God, I believe your word on this. Then let's walk in it. And our faith is strengthened. Our faith is built up. So we go through various trials to bring God glory. Daniel and his three friends were going through these trials to bring God glory. He gives the land rest. He restores Israel. He restores us. When we come to Jesus, when we accept what Jesus did, what does He do? He restores us. It says He makes us a new creation. He gives us a new heart. Just as He restored the land, just as He rebuilt Israel, and when He rebuilt Israel, when He built Jerusalem again, what a city that was. It was a beautiful city. until the Romans destroyed it again. But it was a beautiful city for a long time. He restores us and He makes us like His Son. He brings us out of darkness. He protects us. He loves us. And see, this is where Daniel's going to come in. This is where we're going to walk in to Daniel. Because Daniel and his three friends, what do? Time and time again, they point to hope. This isn't a good situation, guys. What does Daniel do? As soon as he finds out that he has 24 hours and we're going to die, he doesn't run in and he starts, oh, we're going to panic. Oh, what are we going to do? Let's run, guys. We shouldn't have been here anyway. If God really loved us, we wouldn't have been here anyway. He doesn't say that. He says, guys, here's what's going to happen. We have 24 hours to decipher what this king's dream is. And we know that there's only one that can do that, and that's God. So we need to get on our knees, and we need to pray, and we need to pray, and we need to pray. And we need to not stop praying until God answers. And that's exactly what they do. 24 hours in, Daniel says, I need to see the king. Here's what your dream means, sir. The God of Israel, the God that we serve, gave us a dream. And this is what it means. So we need to run. We need to find that hope, and we need to hit our knees. Daniel points to security. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If God does not save us, we will not bend the knee. Why? Because they knew they were going to die. If we're dead, we're still not going to bend the knee. Why? Because when we die, we're going to be with God. God's not going to abandon us. He may not save us here on this planet. He may not save us from that fire. But He's going to save us. We're going to wake up. We're going to open our eyes to the glory of God. And God's going to bring us into His fold. I have security in that. So I don't fear you, King. Daniel points to God's justice. The men that tried to do Daniel wrong, writing this quick thing and tricking the king into signing, if you pray three times to anybody but King Darius, you're going to the lion's den. What did God do? Those three men ended up being fed to the lions. There was justice. God protected His own. There was mercy and there was grace. We look in the chapter where Nebuchadnezzar writes, Daniel warns, this is what that dream means, King. This is what your dream means. You're going to run around like a wild beast. And you're going to be eating grass and you're going to be crazy as all get out if you don't give God His glory. Nebuchadnezzar looked like a wild beast for 7 years. He brought mercy upon the king. Daniel and his three friends point to the grace of God. Daniel and his three friends could have been destroyed with everyone else, but they were not. It would be Daniel and his three friends who would shine God's light to an unsaved world. Just as Christ came not for the Jewish people, not for the Jewish leaders. He came for the lost, for the sick, for the hopeless, for me, for you, for the forgotten. He didn't just come for Israel. So think about this a minute. Had Daniel and his three friends not been captured, had they not walked through these hard moments, and we don't know what history does not say, but where would Nebuchadnezzar be? We know Belshazzar refused and he was killed. Where would Nebuchadnezzar be? Where would Darius be? Had Daniel and his three friends not come and said, we respect you, sir. We honor your position, sir. But we serve a one true God, and He's the only one that we bow to. He's the only one that we will serve with all our heart. And every time, what did they all say? Over and over again, we will worship the God of Daniel. We will worship the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They did not know the one true God until Daniel and his three friends were taken from their home and ran through a trial after trial after trial. And they always brought God the glory. That's our calling today. We're to go out into a world that's not our own. See, this world is not our own. It's a place we wake up to. It's a home that we love, but it's not our home. It's not the end result. We're to be like Daniel and his three friends, like Paul, like them, and have that mindset of eternity. My ultimate goal is heaven. I'm just passing through. So today's not an easy day, but I'm walking. I'm walking forward and I'm moving forward. And each step that I take, each day that I lay down and close my eyes, is the day I get closer to my King. Today was a hard day, but you know what? I'm one step closer to God. I'm one step closer to hearing God say, well done. Welcome home. We're to go out into this world and we're to share the gospel of Jesus. Jesus didn't have easy days all the time. He had a lot of hard days. But he pointed everybody to the Father. He came for a mission. He told us to go out. We're going to face opposition. It may not be a personal opposition where, like, I'm personally attacking Annette. It may be sickness. It may be hard times. It's hard to tell. We're going to face opposition. Like we learned in Ephesians, we're in a spiritual battle. We're going to face opposition. It's going to hit hard, but we put on that full armor. We trust God. Be strong and courageous in God, in Him, following Him, because in the end, it's God who will get the glory. So when we come to the question, how can a loving, caring, just God allow bad things to happen? It's to strengthen our faith. It's to see who He really is, that He is a loving, just God. Because how many can ride a bicycle? Pretty much a lot of you, right? When you get on a bicycle today, when Craig gets on his motorcycle today, do you see Mike out there holding the handlebars and the tail going, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go? That doesn't happen. He went and then let go. And Craig rode that bicycle, and then one day Craig looked back and there was Mike standing way back here, and then Craig went down. And Mike came and picked him up and said, let's do it again. And he grabbed that bike and that handle and said, let's go, let's go, let's go, and let go. And then eventually Craig took off and didn't fall down again. And Craig rides a motorcycle now. That's God. God says, you're going to fall. I'm going to let you fall, but it's to trust me. It's to look to me. It's to know that I'm going to get you where I said I was going to get you. So things happen to bring Him glory. That's the hope of the gospel, that He overcame it. He overcame it all. And we have to trust that. He said, I'll get you to the end. And the end is with me. Just believe. And let's walk. So I hope you'll join us as we jump in to this gospel-rich Old Testament book. Because next week we're gonna walk in and sit down and we're going to hear the king of the eunuchs say, all right, boys, here's where you are and here's your assignment. Enjoy your feast. So we're going to start walking it and we're going to see how Daniel and his three friends over and over again point to a gospel that is secure, a gospel of hope, a gospel of peace, a gospel of forgiveness, of mercy and love. That's what we can hold on to through tough times. Knowing that we serve a living God who weeps when we weep, who laughs when we laugh, who gets us to heaven with Him. Let us pray. Lord, we give You praise. We give You glory for who You are. Thank You for Your mercy, for Your grace. Thank You that we see that You allow things to happen. You sometimes make things to happen, so that we turn to You, that we can look to You, that we can fix our focus. Because when You give these trials, when You allow these things to happen, You are persistently pursuing us. You're persistently loving us. You're persistently calling us. You're showing Your mercy, Your love, Your grace. We thank You for that. Lord, help us to look to Your Son. Help us to share the truth of the gospel. That we serve a living God, a God who saw the state that we're in and died for us anyway, and then calls us sons and daughters. Lord, we praise You, we give You glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
you very much, Jeremy. It's good to know that Ephesians was good. We're going to start a new study, and that's going to be good, too. It's time, our invitation time. So much was said about it, and we do see God's mighty hand in everything. And we know that no matter what happens, those who love Jesus are going to be protected and in His arms. And He says there's nothing on this earth that can separate us from the love of Christ. You know, they can take our lives even. So what? But our lives without Christ is a sad thing if your life's taken without Christ. Because hell is a real place, and it's somewhere we don't want to go. We've seen in the Bible, you see in the time and time again, nations that turn away from God, and then the nation has to face the wrath of God, the judgment of God. God is just. He is fair. And so you hear when good people do nothing, that's a sin too. When we see injustices all around us and evil people trying to run this country and we do nothing, that's wrong. We need to seek Jesus with all our heart. Those who don't know Him need to know Him. And this morning's a good time to know Him. The revelation is being lived out before us. Jesus is coming, and He's coming soon. I hope and I pray that He'll give us more time on this earth to save the lost. That's my prayer, but I don't know what's going to happen. He could come right this minute. Do you know Him? Are you ready for Him? Are you ready for it? If you die, are you ready to meet the Lord? I know I am. I'm ready. I'm more than ready, but I don't want to see. I have a lot of friends, loved ones that don't know Jesus. We have a lot of people leading this country that don't know Jesus, that need to know Jesus. And that's a way to fix this country, is to get on our knees and pray to Jesus that He will forgive us of our sins. We need to repent, that He will forgive us of our sins and restore our land. But no matter what, we need to be prepared. That's what the Bible leads to, the revelations. We need to be prepared. We need to have our lamps burning for that day that He's coming, and He's coming soon. If you don't know who Jesus is, just like Jeremy said, He will make you His son, adopted daughter. And once you make that commitment, nothing can separate you from Jesus, nothing. And you will spend an eternity with Jesus. You know, we're all sinners of the worst sort. But there's going to come a day when we rise uncorruptible. Jesus is going to make us uncorruptible. Sin will no longer have any hold on us whatsoever. That's the day I'm waiting for. He's going to come, and He's going to take us home to glory. And Eric's communion comments, Romans 8:18, and I love that verse because it more or less says, one look on Jesus' face and all this will seem like nothing. All the hardships and every hardship we face in our life, we won't remember them. It'll be nothing. Just one look on His face. So make sure when you see Jesus' face that you know who He is. We're going to sing a song of invitation. If He's pulling at your heart, please come forward today.
As I am,
Lord, we love you, and we thank you for the privilege of being in your house this morning. We thank you for the privilege of living in this country where we can freely worship you, Lord. And we pray that you will help us to uphold that right, that God-given right that you have given us to worship you freely and to serve you. Lord, we ask a blessing on this day, and we ask that you will be with each and every one of us as we go about our weeks, Lord, and keep us safe and in your arms. Lord, help us to touch other people who don't know about your saving grace. Let us be the light, Lord. Let us be your light shining in a dark world. Lord, again, we thank you for this church. And we ask a blessing on it and all the missions we serve. And let us spread your word throughout the whole world, Lord, because that's what this world needs is Jesus. Lord, again, we love you and we praise you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Everybody, please dismiss from the back forward, if you will. Thank you. God bless.